Welcome to the podcast of Troy Brewer, a guitar playing, globe trotting, book writing, Bible thumping, star watching, radio TV hosting, church leading, Alamo saluting Texan, and drop dead sold out Jesus freak. Well, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Hello, my friends. This is Troy Brewer. And today, guys, I'm going to be talking about the subject of burnout. I'm going to be talking about how in the world are we supposed to stay motivated in a day that is so difficult. And guys, I really think that you're going to get a lot out of this. Thank you so much for liking this and sharing this and letting other people know about the podcast and the kind of subject and all the shiny objects that we look at when it comes to walking the walk that we're walking and living the life that we're living. Hello to all my friends that are listening on pray.com, all of my pray.com peeps. And I want to remind everybody too, just a friendly reminder, that every single sermon that I preach and all of the teaching that we do, including the Revelation Report, which happens every single Tuesday, and then the Wednesday Watch, all of those things happen for free across all of my social media. And for more information, you can simply go to troybrewer.com. All right, guys, let's get off into this. I'm here in the studio with my good friends Cade and my good friend Connie. She's in here today. I'm going to go ahead and call him my very good friend, my oldest boy, Brother Benjamin Allen Brewer. And he's sitting right across from me in the window, and he's not much to look at. He's definitely, he looks a lot like me, and it's just sad is what it is. You know, Ben, I want to tell you, I thought your mama jumped the fence, but no, I don't think so, man. I don't. He's shaking his head. No. you know, guys, I have been involved in ministry since 1986. I've been in full-time ministry since 1986. And I want to tell you a big part of my superpower, I'm always saying, what is somebody's happy hat and what is somebody's superpower? Mine is I'm very, very, very self-motivated, and I just like to get stuff done. I like to get stuff done, and I like to accomplish things, and I like to get stuff done. I can't stand not getting things done. I just can't, which means I'm a very, very driven person, and everybody that is around me has to be very self-driven people. They just have to be. And I have been, over the years, I've had the great privilege of traveling to 56 nations. Some of those nations, like Mexico, I've been in more than 200 times. And places like England, I've been there more than 40 times. And Uganda, I've been there probably in the 20s now. India, I was there, I don't know, probably a dozen or so times. I could go on and on. But in the midst of traveling, I also founded Open Door Food Bank. This is our 32nd year of the Open Door Food Bank. And I'm not just trying to tell you my accolades. I'm just trying to tell you a little bit about all the plates that I spin, because it's a lot. We have the Open Door Food Bank. We have food banks all over the world. Our food bank here at Open Door, we have construction projects, and we just got a big grant, and we're doubling the size of it, and that's really cool. But we're in the process of giving around 8 million pounds of food absolutely free to probably 170,000 people this year. It might be more than that, because the numbers go up every year. But like in Nicaragua, our food bank in Managua, Nicaragua, actually feeds 100,000 people a month. I pastor a large growing church. There's probably around 7,000 people here in the mix of Open Door, maybe a little bit more than that. Some people would call that a mega church. I really would not call it a mega church, but I can tell you that it keeps you mega busy. We have three services on Sunday. We have a Wednesday night service, and then we have tons and tons and tons of all kinds of ministry during the week. I run something called Answer International, which is our anti-sexual trafficking ministry, and we have teams all over the world. I'm on the board of Spark Worldwide, which is my wife's ministry, and we serve, protect, and raise kids. That's what SPARK stands for. Let's see, what else do we do? I do all the media at Troy Brewer Ministries, which is a big-time job. I write at least one book a year, typically three or four if you include my workbooks. Just signed another contract with Destiny for three more books, including the workbooks. I have 15 books out right now. And by the end of 2023, I will have 20 out. So I also am a musician. I'm a singer-songwriter. It's just a lot. Plus, I'm a conference speaker. And then I travel a lot. For more than 20 years, Leanna and I spent 10 days every single month out of the nation somewhere else, feeding people in trash dumps and building orphanages and building rescue centers and those kinds of things. And then, of course, I do other people's TV shows and I do their radio programs and do all that kind of stuff. My immediate team around me is friends, is close friends and family. Not to say that nobody around me is professional. It is to say that everybody, including me, are first generation people that are doing this, meaning none of us really know what it is we're doing. None of us were educated or trained to do anything that we are doing. Just all of us have a tremendous yes in our spirit. And guys, we're just killing it. I also have 4 biological children. All 4 of them are married. So that means I have 8 kids, and then I have 7 grandkids. And then I have thousands and thousands of little boys and little girls all over the world that are now in second and third generation that call me Papa, or they call me Daddy. They typically call me Papa Troy, and I'm in constant contact with all of those people. Our radio program is on 70 some odd radio stations. We're typically on 4 times a day. And then our television program is on 5 different networks. Okay. And then I do other stuff. So like, whoa. The reason I'm telling you that is because I know what it's like to have to spin a whole lot of plates. I have two ranches that I constantly have to work on and constantly have to manage. And even though I have a great management team led by Pastor Jerry Sellers, and we have great building teams here, we have all these things, I'm certainly not doing any of this by myself, but I want to tell you the biggest plate spinning I have has to do with leading all of the teams. And then what I have found, that anxiety is the kryptonite to creativity. And my main job that everybody depends upon me on is to be extremely creative in coming out with content. And everybody depends upon me for that. So I've given you just a little bird's eye window, you know, just a little bird's eye view and a little window into the world that I live in and the plates that I spin. And I can tell you it's been like this for 30 years. This isn't something that we just started, though. Everything has just ramped up over the past 5 years in a tremendous way, which I'm very grateful for. But we've been living like this for a long, long, long time. Well, how come you didn't get divorced? How come you didn't have a nervous breakdown? How come you didn't quit the church? How come there hasn't been a scandal? How come there hasn't? Not that I am impervious to any of those things. But like a real good example, or I should say this, I actually did have a nervous breakdown in 2011. I had a tremendous nervous breakdown, and I knocked about, I would say 3 or 4 months out of my life where I was done. I was toast. I was burnt out, freaked out, didn't know what to do. And that involved a big personal crisis and a great big church split, and a bunch of ugly stuff that happened. And it was just a terrible, terrible time for me. I have since learned what I've got to do to keep myself motivated and passionate. And guys, I want to share some of those secrets with you. I sure do. I think that the generation that we live in today just uses the excuse of anxiety to not do anything. And what they're actually screaming, when people decide not to do anything, what they're actually screaming is for somebody else to govern them. And I want to tell you, I'm wildly independent. I am incredibly, incredibly independent. And I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be governed by a bunch of knuckleheads making up a bunch of rules for me and dealing with whatever crisis I have in my life so that I will become a submissive citizen to whatever their agenda is. That is just not me. I belong to King Jesus, and I'm a part of the kingdom. And man, I want to get stuff done. I really and truly do. So I've had to learn, and I want to tell you, I've had struggles with it, especially since COVID, and staying motivated and actually not burning out. And again, I want to share some of that with you here today. So I gave you guys a scripture at the very beginning, and the scripture that I gave you was out of the book of Isaiah. It's Isaiah 40, verse 29. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of his weak, the power of the weak. I think that being true and being vulnerable and being real, and also to being very self-aware, and also literally gaming up on your own emotional intelligence is a tremendous key in your walk with Jesus and letting him give you strength. And like, okay, Lord, you know, I always fail every time this thing comes up, and you need to be able to have the kind of relationship with the Lord that says, I need a whole new way to think about this. And you have to have that anointing in your life so that when you talk to your friends and those people that are close to you, that anointing will actually kick in. And guys, we know that the anointing breaks the yoke. That's what the point of the anointing is. And what is a yoke? It's something that's trying to drive you. So, you know, it's like an ox yoke, right? So you put it around an animal and then you drive and you control that animal with the yoke. You use the animal's strength for your own personal purpose and you drive it exactly the way that you want to do. So it's a yoke is literally a form of slavery. So when the Bible says that the anointing breaks the yoke, you have to know that you have to know how to walk with God in such a way that things do not wear you out. And you have to be very real about what does wear you out. And then, are you ready for this? Man, you got to grow up and you got to develop. You got to work hard to develop. It's not natural. It is a supernatural process, but it is a determined thing. It is truly determined. I mean, it's a skill set that you have to build on. And it's a character skill set. There are lots of things that I do to keep myself from burning out. And I'm going to tell you that one of those things is the people that are close to me and the people that work closest to me, I insist that they are friends. I will not allow anybody to work close to me that does not want to be my friend. If somebody is working real close to me and all they got is a skill set is highly replaceable. All you got to do is just ask for resumes and you can get skill sets. But people to do life with, that's a privilege. That is a privilege. It's a privilege for them, and it's also a privilege for me. And I insist that we actually be friends. Actually, whenever I hire somebody who's going to work close with me, I'll say, hey, look, I'm hiring you to do this, and help me accomplish that. But know this, I expect you to be my friend. This is too hard. This is too hard to do without friends. And so we have true friendships, and a big, huge part of a true friendship is being able to be real about what you're struggling with and go, you know what? I'm just not feeling it today. I'm having an issue today. This is what's real. One of the things that we all do, all of us, it's on top level. If any of us gets like a filthy text or something like that, which happens to anybody that has a phone, we share those things with each other and say, look at this trash that comes to me. This is the kind of stuff that I have to fight from day to day to day. And we encourage each other within our fights. We're not going to be mad at each other for being human beings because we are all human beings. And that's no excuse for any kind of carnality, but it is a great segue into seeing the power of God within your life. Listen, man, you got to have friends. You have to have a confidant. You don't have to have a whole lot, but you do have to have people that you actually do life with in a way that doesn't kill you. And then I also have way next level counsel. I have psychiatric counsel, and we have pro psychiatrists and psychologists here at Open Door Church. And I don't mind calling them at all. I also have next level business counsel. And you're like, dude, I don't have a right mind in this. And I don't know how to think about this. I just tell them that. I was on the phone last night until 11 o'clock for a 2-hour conversation with a guy who has 900 employees. And I was talking to him about some employee situations and moving things around and the structures and the org charts and that kind of stuff that I just going to go, that's what I want to do. I just want to vomit like a buzzard over those things. But they are absolutely imperative to everybody being able to work together and know who they work for and know exactly what their job descriptions are and what we expect out of everybody. And I kind of have the attitude, hey man, let's just do the thing. Let's just all get up and let's just do what needs to be done. But everybody's not like me. And so clear definition is very important. And so I was talking to him about all that and just saying, man, this whole thing really seems like I'm being fenced in more than anything else. And he's like, nope, that's not what it is. It's actually just clear definition. And you need to have a huge value for clear definition because your employees do. Okay, that lens was something that I needed. And I think just the emotional intelligence and the self-awareness of being able to look at something and be able to go, okay, the only way I know how to look at this thing is the wrong way. I can't find another way to look at it. Just admit that it's the wrong way, even though it feels right. And even though you have the right to think of it that way, but you're like, it's not right. This is not but I don't know what it is. Okay, well, then you can actively pursue that. And you don't have to be burnt out because you can't make a decision. The inability to be able to make decisions and to come to healthy conclusions causes people to be burnt out. The inability to know how to hope in something. A lot of things I tell a lot of people in marriage counseling is this. She has to know how to have hope for your marriage. And I'll tell the lady, he doesn't know how to have hope. And he doesn't know how to hope. Man, you got to help him have hope in this marriage. You got to believe. You have to find a way that's real that you have hope. And if you don't have those things, you will burn out. You absolutely will. Hopelessness kills people. And a lot of people just call it anxiety. No, there's a certain kind of a tremendous sense of urgency that is totally godly. You know, there's a huge urgency that comes with the kingdom, but there's no pain attached to it. It's just a tremendous sense of urgency. A lot of people are like, well, I just feel anxious. Like, well, boy, here's the deal. That shouldn't be a game changer because you feel anxious. I feel it all the time. And then I go, nope, that's not what God Almighty has called me to live in. It's not what I'm called to walk in. And I don't want to walk in it. And I have to know what I can shut down, when I can shut down, and walk away from it and come back to it when I'm healthy and come back into it in a place that it's healthy for me to enter into. Brother Steve Jobs, who's an amazing and extraordinary human being, he actually refused to, he was so worn out on making decisions that his entire wardrobe was a black shirt and black pants. You know why? Because when he got off of work, he did not want to have to make one more decision. And when he woke up in the morning, he did not want to have to make a decision. Because he was going to have to be making decisions all day long. And he did not want to even think about having to go through a closet. Grab a shirt, grab his underwear, grab his pants, grab his socks, grab his shirt. I'm out. I'm gone. Goodbye. But I want to tell you, that tells me how miserable he was throughout the day. I just don't want to be miserable. And that's a real big part too of something that I like to talk about is this. I just refuse to be miserable. And if you're burnt out, man, you're miserable. And again, a lot of the burnout happens because you cannot find a solution and you do not know how to hope in it. Okay, well, that's the devil's playground and that's not for you. So I'll talk about maintaining your love and maintaining your passion because friends, lack of passion is fatal. Lack of passion is evil. Lack of empathy is actually the essence of evil. And like, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the Nuremberg trials. Excuse me. I'm also talking about, you know, the whole Nazi occupation and the killing of over 6 million Jews. I'm talking about all of that whenever they're like, okay, we need to figure this dude out. Eichmann. Hey, Eichmann, you seem like such a nice guy. Well, I am a nice guy. But isn't it true that you took little boys and little girls and threw them alive into fires? Isn't that true? Oh, yes. Yes, I did that. That was my job. How in the world could you be so evil? And this is what they determined. They determined he excelled in lack of empathy. He actually had to train himself over and over and over again how to not feel things. And guys, I want to tell you, the world's going to tell you, become comfortably numb. Just become numb to everything. And guys, lack of empathy is evil. When you don't care about somebody, and I'm telling you, evil is absolutely evil. And what will happen is if you get all burned out, you'd be like, I refuse to care about anything anymore. Okay, well, the devil's got you. That makes you a Nazi, by the way. If you're somebody that says, I refuse to care about anything anymore, well, hey, man, you need to join the Third Reich. That's what you need to do. And you'll be perfect for throwing little boys and little girls into open fires. Well, obviously, that's not you. That's not you, and that's not me. So I will not allow myself to think that way. I'm just not going to. I'm not going to allow myself to think that way. The Bible says that the sacrifice that God wants is a broken spirit. And then he says a contrite heart. The contrite means one that's laid out before him, a submissive heart to God Almighty. He says, I will not despise. Like, what do you mean by that? God says, I know I like it. However you bring that to me, I'm going to like it. It's a lot like if Leanna is shopping and she said, what can I shirt do you want? Well, I want one that covers me up because I'm fat. Okay, well, what color does it need to be? Okay, listen, I'm going to like it. Just, you know what I like. you know what I don't like. And I'm just going to like it. If you go to that certain store and you give me something, I know I'm going to like it. When God Almighty says that he will not despise a heart that comes before him that says, I'm ready to feel what you feel. I'm ready to think what you think. I'm ready to do what you do. I'm ready to get with your program. He says, whatever that looks like, I'm going to like it. I'm not going to despise that. So people that are not fired up about the right things are always fired up about the wrong things. And I could talk to you about I only have just a few minutes here left, but I can talk to you about the lukewarm church and tell you that the Lord just says, makes me want to throw up. I mean, man, when Jesus tells his church in Revelation chapter 3, you make me want to puke, that's not good. Now, the King James version of that is, I will vomit you or spit you from out of my mouth. But what he actually is saying, the fact that you're burned out and you have no passion and you're not fired up, actually just makes me want to throw up. Okay, well, that's disgusting is what that is. A lot of people are told and they think it's a toxic masculinity to be mad. No, it's actually a holy thing to be angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. In other words, there's a way that you partner with God in being angry and you don't need to bail on God when you get angry. Like, oh, man, I never thought of it like that. No, it's really true. So how do I avoid being burnt out and how do I remain passionate? Number one is this, personal involvement is a really big deal. I don't want to be the kind of pastor friends that sits in my office and is mad over the people that left me. I don't want to be mad over, hey, these people made this promise and didn't keep it, or that guy was supposed to step up. And you know what? Let me tell you how you cure all that. Go find little boys and little girls that are living off of eating grass. I actually look for those kids on every single missions trip, especially if I'm in Africa. I look for kids that are eating grass. And like, why would you do that? Because I want to find them and I want to change their lives. That's why. And I want that to be my story. I don't want to hear, but I don't want to be the one hearing that story. I want to be the one telling that story. I want to make a tremendous difference and I want to be personally involved. When I'm in Mexico, if I'm in the trash dump, I'm looking for kids that are being trafficked and I want to save them. That's what I want to do. When I'm in India, I want to be personally involved. Personal involvement in the things that you need to be passionate about is absolutely essential. You have to be personally involved. And if you have a heart for feeding the poor, can I just tell you something? Go feed the poor. Like, well, I don't have approval from my church or whatever. You don't need their approval. Be the person that God Almighty has called you to be. Go get a bag of groceries and take it to somebody who needs it. Just, you get personally involved. Get actively engaged, and you'll find Jesus in those places. The second one is supernatural encounter. If I am going to remain passionate for King Jesus, I can't just read about it in the Bible. I have to let the scriptures testify of Jesus and give me a roadmap on how I can personally experience Jesus. If I can read it in the Bible, but I can't find it in my life, I got to go after it. And so having supernatural encounters with the Lord is a really, really big deal. That's a really, really, really big deal. I want to have dreams. I want to have visions. I want to hear God speak. I want to see God do miracles. And I had to pursue that life. I have to go after that. And then finally, the third one of remaining passionate with my walk with King Jesus has to do with mapping out God's heart. And what I mean by that is this, I want to be fascinated with God's heart. I want to be continually looking and going, man, I love how God does this. I love how God does that. I love God's heart about this. I love God's heart about that. Dude, I had no idea that God was okay with that. I had no idea that God was even involved in that. Those three different categories right there keep me fired up for King Jesus. And I actually apply that into every single part of my life. And being married, like, you know, okay, what is it? Number one, personal involvement. I can't have a separate life from Leanna. So I have to live the same life that Leanna lives. And Leanna has to be involved in the same world that Troy, that I'm involved in. Personal involvement, there's no, you know, like, there's things like us. I refuse to have a different bank account. And I just don't think it's a good idea. For us, there's no way. I don't want her to have her money and for me to have my money. I don't want her to have her part of her life and for me to have my part of my life. I want us to be joint heirs to everything that God Almighty has for us. I don't have a part of the house that she's not allowed in. She doesn't have a part of the house. My phone, she can go through my phone 24/7 and I can go through her phone 24/7. I don't have a tremendous value for privacy when it comes to my wife. I can't have, now I'm a dude and I need to be left alone sometimes, but we have the kind of relationship that I can just tell her, man, baby, I just can't even think today. And I'm not going to answer anything intelligently whatsoever. Can I just sit here and veg? And she has no problem with that. That's not a diss to her. And you know why? Because she understands my world. If she didn't know my world, that would be a diss to her. Supernatural encounter, well, obviously that's intimacy with her. And I'm not just talking about sexual, which is super important to me, but also too, I'm talking about just intimacy, that she and I know things that nobody else knows. And that she and I share things that nobody else shares. And then finally, mapping out her heart and rediscovering over and over and over again things that Leanna likes. And I wanna just tell you guys, that's how we keep from burning out in our marriage. And that's how I keep from burning out with God. That's how I keep from burning out here at work and all the things that I do, is I have defiant joy and I have to go out. I have to go. Now, guys, this next week I'm going on vacation. I'm getting set up and I'm to actually go on this vacation. But I have a plan. I have a plan. And my plan is to do things that I can't do when I'm working here all the time. And so I hope that these things helps you. And I hope that this is a great big blessing to you. And I hope that you will consider these things. I want to pray for you. Father God, I want to lift up everybody that's suffering from any form of burnout. And I pray, God, in the mighty name of King Jesus, God, that we would be full of the Holy Spirit and full of your power. And God, I love you and praise you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Friends, this is Troy Brewer signing off. God bless you so much. Bye-bye.